to serve. He has the right to ask that of us. And by the way, the Bible says that the person that loses his life or gives his life up for Christ saves his life. But the person who keeps his life for himself loses that life. God wants you to be blessed. And God wants you to know the way to live a blessed life is to live in His will and fulfill His purpose. Now, God has given to us a free will. We can choose to obey Him or not obey Him. We can choose to obey the Scripture or turn away from it. We can do the will of God or we don't have to. But our choice is going to determine the quality of our life and whether or not we have God's blessings on our life. Stewardship begins with commitment, personal commitment of our life as a whole. The Apostle Paul did not say, "You can have the Sundays." He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He was making a commitment of his life as a whole. He was making that commitment that regardless of what day it was or where he was, he is going to live his life for Jesus Christ and do His will. Now, God does not just expect those He calls into full-time ministry to give God his whole life. We're to be full-time Christians every day. And God deserves His will in our life every day. So stewardship begins with commitment, first of all, of our life as a whole to God. Secondly, our time. Our time. Isn't it amazing how we squeeze God out by stealing His time? How much time do you devote to God every week? How much time do you devote in prayer? How much time do you devote in reading the Bible? How much time do you devote in witnessing? How much time do you devote in worshiping God? He deserves a commitment of our time. Now, God is not saying you can't hunt or you can't fish or you can't work your garden or work in the yard. Or He's not saying you can't have hobbies and you can't do those things that are enjoyable and right, that are not wrong or immoral or unbiblical. He's not saying that. But He's saying, Christian, don't push me out of your time. The truth is, I've got more money than I have time. I can make more money. I can't make more time. A week just has so many hours and so many days. I have just so many minutes. My life is going to live just so long. God said He set boundaries around our life and we cannot go beyond it. So God in heaven knows how many days and hours and minutes we have. And I wonder what the record book shows that we have given to Him. He wants us to make a commitment of our time. I think we ought to make a commitment of our time to be in His house on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I think we ought to make a commitment of our time to witness for Him, to tell others about Him. I think we ought to make a commitment of our time to ministry, to get involved. Now, God doesn't call everybody to preach or everybody to teach. But there are spiritual gifts that God gives to His children when they're saved. And those spiritual gifts are given to us to enable us to minister for Him and to others in and through our local church. Spiritual gifts are not given to us to make us super Christians and better than others. It's just God providing a way whereby we can minister to Him. And to do that, we're going to have to give Him time. You know, when most people come to church on Sunday, do you know what they want out of church most? To get out. To get out. Someone said in a Baptist church that on Sunday morning when the clock strikes 12, the church gives up her dead. God wants a commitment of our time. Our time. Now, He asks us to give a tithe, an offering of our finances, our increase. Now, He doesn't say that we have to give a 10% of our time. But He doesn't say we shouldn't either. You ought to stop and figure how much time you're actually giving to God in worship, in ministry, in prayer, and in reading a week. And then compare that to how much you're giving in television, hobbies, sporting things, playing. You know, guys, they say that men never stop being little boys with playthings. The only difference is our toys become more expensive. Okay? So we need to stop and look at how much time we're giving to other things and make sure we're not shortchanging God, because He desires a commitment of our time. And then our talents, our abilities. Our abilities. You know, it's amazing to me what people in this church have talents and abilities to do. And may I say to you, God did not give you that talent or ability just for you to use it in the world, but to use it for His glory. He doesn't mind you using your talents and ability to provide for your provide a living for your family. But He don't want you to cheat Him and not use it for His glory also. I can't believe there's people who sing beautifully but won't sing in the choir. I can't believe that there's people that have the ability to drive a bus and won't get their CDL license and drive a bus. You say, well, why don't you drive? I've had my time driving it, my dear friend. I've built bus routes. I've driven buses. I've knocked the doors. I've worked on the buses. I've had grease up to my elbows. It's a bad thing when we think we're too good to serve in any... Well, I'm not going to serve in the nursery. I may have to change a diaper. Well, la-di-da-da, tutti-frutti. They do make water, and we have soap and towels. Okay? So, God expects us to make a commitment of our talents. And then God expects us to make a commitment of our treasure. These four items are going to cover the next four lessons. Today's lesson is dealing with the importance of commitment. This is the beginning. This is the key to the very heart of stewardship. Commitment. Commitment. Seldom will anyone see his desire to please God and serve God materialize unless it's transformed into action through some personal commitment to God. When I surrendered to preach, doors did not begin to open to me in the ministry until I knelt at an altar and publicly surrendered my life to the will and the call of God. I never experienced God's blessings on me financially until I knelt at an altar and made a commitment to give God the first dime of every dollar and an offering. Everything begins with commitment. Now, Roman numeral 1 in our lesson guide simply says personal commitment sacrifices our sovereignty as human beings. And there's the big hang-up in stewardship. We want to be in control of everything. We're not willing to allow God to be in control of our life. Webster's dictionary describes sanctification and sovereignty in the following way. Sanctify means to set apart to a sacred purpose. That's what God wants every Christian to do with their life. He wants to sanctify you and set you apart for a special purpose according to His will. In heaven, when God created you, He designed a perfect personal will of God especially for you. Now, most of us men have never had a tailor-made suit. We just go and buy them off the rack, and they're a little tight in some places and a little big in other places, you know. But, man, when you have a tailor-made suit or a tailor-made dress, the person that makes that suit or the dress, take all the measurements and design it to fit you perfectly. That's what God's will is. God's will is tailor-made just for you. It fits perfectly if we'd learn to surrender and yield to His will. So it's to be set apart to a sacred purpose. And then sovereignty means freedom from external control. God is a sovereign God, and He is free from external control. Kings don't sway God. God sways kings. Okay? He has their heart in His hand and can turn them whithersoever He will. So, God made us with free will. But God wants us to yield that to Him. Here's what liberty is. Liberty in the Christian life is not using your salvation and God's grace as an excuse to live in sin and do everything you want to. Liberty is given to us that we might give it back to God to do His will. We have liberty when we yield to Him and His will. And by the way, the more liberty you choose to claim for yourself, the further away you'll walk from God, and the less of God's power and blessings will you know in your life. The more of your personal liberty you give up in order to do the will of God, the more of His power and blessings you'll experience in your life. So, stewardship begins with a personal commitment. Lord, I'm going to give up my liberty, my will, my sovereignty over to You that I might fulfill Your purpose for my creation and my salvation. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Now, from the very beginning, man has been given a free will. God did not choose to create Adam and Eve as robots that He could manipulate, nor did He create us as robots to manipulate. God created us and gave us a free will. Adam and Eve could choose to eat or not eat. God said, I don't want you to eat. You can eat of everything except this tree. But the day you eat of this tree, you'll die. You'll die spiritually and you'll begin dying physically. Adam didn't have to die after 920 years. But he died because he disobeyed God. He chose to exercise His will instead of yielding and committing his life to God's will. Now, God does not force His will upon us. He sets before us the alternatives. For instance, in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, talking about Jesus, it says Jesus came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received them, to Him gave them power to become the sons of God. Now, He sent Jesus to the world and to the Jewish people, and they rejected Him. They chose to reject Him. They could have chosen to accept Him. But He said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It was their choice. God didn't force himself upon any man. He doesn't force himself on anyone today. He knocks at our heart's door. He does not knock the door down and enter against our will. He wants us to open that door and invite him to come in and invite him to take charge. He has a will for our life. He's designed us for a purpose in his divine will, but he won't force that will on us. He wants us to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Show me and I'll do it. Speak to me and I'll do it. So stewardship begins with commitment. Commitment. Many passages of Scripture declares that his desire is that we acknowledge him and let him accomplish his will in our life. That's what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, God has a will of God for us. He doesn't force it on us, but his desire is that we exercise our will and yield it to his will, making his will to become our will for our life. That's commitment. Commitment. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's read verse 11 through 16. The Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So God wants us to understand that personal commitment simplifies the complexity of our Christian lives. Personal commitment simplifies the complexity of our personal lives. I have people all the time say, well, preacher, I'm just struggling with this sin and I'm struggling with that. And I'm You know why they're struggling? They never made a commitment of their life to God. They want to live their life according to their will and still have God deliver them from temptation. It is a complex life when we are rebelling or not yielding to the will of God. God saved us, God created us, God redeemed us. He planned his will around our life for him. We quote Ephesians 2, 8, 9 all the time, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. But we stop there and never quote verse 10. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God's will is that we commit ourselves to him that we might walk in his will. God saved us to serve him. God saved us to do his will. God didn't just save you and me to keep us out of hell. He saved us in order that we might serve him. And stewardship begins when we make that commitment to him. We give up our will in order to do his will. And when we do that, we don't lose our life, we literally gain it. Suddenly life begins to live when we begin to live in the purpose and the plan and the will of God for our lives. Stewardship begins with commitment. Now, in this passage that we've just read, there are three important words I want to point out. Notice, first of all, it says in verse number 11, likewise, reckon ye. That word reckon, look at it. Reckoned literally means to make a record. Make a record. Likewise, make a record also of yourselves, to be dead indeed unto sin. Make a record. No mention here is of emotions or feelings or circumstances. Reckon is faith in action. Faith in action. We do not make our decisions on the basis of emotion or circumstances. We make our decision by faith. By faith. And reckoning, as used here, is faith in action. We are to believe God's word and consider it to be settled. It is settled in heaven. The Bible tells us that. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words will not pass away. By the way, God's got his word, his Bible in heaven. I believe it's going to be one of the books we'll be judged from. And the great white throne judgment will use his word as one of the books to judge the unsaved. So, it would be good if the Bible we read here agrees with the one in heaven, wouldn't it? And if we're going to be judged by it, the Bible, then it would be good that we yield to its teachings. So, reckoning is faith in action. We're to believe God's word and consider it settled if God said it. You've seen the bumper stickers. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's not proper. God said it, that settles it. We ought to believe it. We're foolish if we don't believe it. So, God's reckoning is faith in action. We are to believe that God's word is correct and consider it settled in heaven, and it ought to be settled in our heart. See, God tells us the believer's crucified with Christ. That's settled. Jesus never going to die again. And when we accept him as Savior, our sins are imputed to his account, and the Bible tells us we are literally in Christ. It's settled. The Bible says the believer is dead to sin. We ought to believe it and say that settles it. Sin does not have to have power over us. You know why sin has power? We choose to will to let it have power over us. Instead of exercising God's will, we exercise our will. It's already settled. God said it. The believer is alive unto God. We have in us living the Holy Spirit in our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are his. That's settled. We're alive unto God, and the believer does not have to let sin control his life. Look at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies. Now, do you think God would have said, told us not to do it if we couldn't help it? You know why he said we're not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies? Because we've got freedom of choice. We can choose to get rid of sin and get away from sin. Too many Baptists are like some old farmers down in East Texas. In the springtime, skunks begin to mate and have little ones, and they come around all the time, and they'll trap them and get out there and going to move that skunk and bury him and hope it doesn't get on them. You start messing with a skunk, you're going to get skunk on you. My sister lived in East Texas out on a farm for a number of years, and skunks would crawl under her house and build a nest under there and have their babies. And she had set a live trap outside of her house, and she had a 40-foot rope on it. And that skunk would go in there after the food, and she'd take that thing and she'd drag it way out there, 40 foot behind her. She wasn't taking any chance. She had made a decision to not let skunk reign on her mortal body. She got it out there till she took her 20-gauge shotgun. She said, bam! I love that. They're part of the cat family. I'm sorry. It just comes out. I ought to have more control over me than that, oughtn't I? So, we're not to let sin have a reign over our mortal bodies. And God says we've got control over that. Begins with commitment. And then there's the word yield in verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, but ye should that you should obey it. And then verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Remember the old comedian Flip Wilson? Remember what his byline, we got into an area where you're familiar, huh? Remember what his byline was? Well, the devil made me do it. No. Devil didn't make you do it. You chose to yield to the devil. He said, we're not to yield ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Yield. The answer to the problem of sin in the believer's not life is not determination, it's not personal discipline, it's not starvation, it's not resolution, it's not reformation, it's not legislation, or any other activity of the flesh. The answer is yielding oneself to the Lord Jesus as Lord and Master of our life. It is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual decision of yielding ourselves to God that gives us victory over sin and its temptations in the Christian life. Yielding is a matter of the will. Verse number 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey? It is a matter of the will. The will. We're clearly told not to yield to sin, and refusing to yield to sin, we're told to yield ourselves as members unto righteousness and unto God. Yielding is not an emergency measure to employ when we face temptation. It's not a 911 number. Rather, it is a daily activity that ought to characterize every one of us in our Christian life. Personal discipleship begins with commitment. And commitment is a yielding yourself to the will of God. Every morning when I get up, before I get out of bed, I ask the Lord, I thank the Lord for saving me. And then I ask the Lord to cleanse me if I have done anything since I last met with Him that would be contrary to His will. Then I ask Him to fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I yield myself to Him that He might have His will in my life that day. It's a daily thing. A daily thing. You know, most of the things that are important in our life occur regularly. For instance, I eat three times a day, and if I can get a fourth one, I'll sneak it in. I drink water regularly, or lemonade regularly. We bathe regularly, daily, I hope. And on, everything, things that are so important we do regularly. Well, isn't living for God important? Isn't His will for our life important? Then why don't we yield to Him daily? You say, well, I did that once. I kissed my wife once, but boy, I want to get some more. I find out I still like to kiss her after almost 50 years of marriage. And I found out serving God is wonderful. And I don't want to waste a day. I want His will in my life. Stewardship begins with commitment. Commitment. And personal commitment signifies our sincerity about discipleship. I shouldn't be afraid of making a decisive decision for my Lord. When the Bible tells me this is what I should do, and when the Holy Spirit confirms that, I ought not be afraid to obey God. You know, He's never done me anything but good. Man, I've broken His heart. I've disappointed Him so many times, and I've gone to Him and said, oh God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And you know what He did? He forgave me for Christ's sake. He's never done me anything but good. And He's not going to ask me to do something that's going to go against His good and perfect will for my life. Why should we be so hesitant about yielding to Him? Personal commitment is the beginning of stewardship in our life. God expects us to make that commitment to Him. He expects us to make that commitment to Him in salvation. He does not want secret disciples. He says, Zacchaeus, you come down out of the tree. Nicodemus, who met Him at night, God wanted him to declare publicly. God doesn't want secret disciples. That's the reason He commands every one of us to publicly confess our faith by believers' baptism. He wants people to know that we have committed our life by faith through Jesus Christ. That's the reason when God calls a young man to preach, He wants a commitment of that. We ought not be afraid to commit our life to stewardship. And commitment is the beginning of stewardship. Let me say just a couple of three things and I'll be through. Number one, your commitment is personal. Nobody can do it for you. Number two, commitment is powerful. It'll transform your life. And number three, commitment is practical because it puts you in the place where you can live your life as God designed it. And you can serve Him as God planned for you to serve Him. Stewardship begins with commitment. Well, our time's up. I thank you for being here today. I hope you got something out of that lesson. And we'll have another part of a stewardship lesson next Sunday. Thank you for being here. Our time is up. You've got enough time to go to the restroom, get a drink of water.